The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to our Thursday edition. It is December the 14th, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We also, of course, have our listening via the computer. If you are near a computer, you can hear the program live anywhere in the world, buckmastershow.com. We've got the live stream there. And of course, on the station's website, kvoi.com, we've got just about every program we have done over the last 7 years in the podcast at buckmastershow.com. It's very easy to use. Just type in a name, put in the search mode, and we'll get you to that program. So we've got it all categorized for you very easily. 790-2040. If any time during the hour you'd like to join in the conversation, give us a ring on the live line. We're going to talk transportation and a little bit of economic development during the first half hour on the program. A couple of years ago, Governor Ducey appointed Mike Hammond to the State Transportation Board representing the Pima County region in the planning and development of Arizona's transportation system. It is a 7-member board, and each member serves a 6-year term while representing local communities throughout Arizona to prioritize transportation needs, projects, and funding. Mike Hammond has been in commercial real estate since 1978. He's president, founder, and managing shareholder of Cushman & Wakefield PICOR, an independent commercial real estate brokerage and management firm based here in Southern Arizona. Mike, how are you?
Fine, Bill. Great to be back.
Well, everybody's talking about transportation. Of course, on the local level, Mike, folks want their neighborhood roads fixed. You're kind of in a different level in that you're looking at more of a big picture from the state situation. Recently, your board adopted a 5-year plan. There's also a 10-year plan. There's a 20-year plan. But let's talk about what's going on right now in that 5-year plan that will make things a little easier for motorists here in Southern Arizona.
Well, right now in the 5-year plan, Southern Arizona has got a pretty good sized chunk of it. Right now, there's approximately $200 million worth of road construction going on. A lot of it driven by the half-cent sales tax of the RTA, but administered and constructed by the ADOT team. Right now, the big projects you're well aware of are the Ina Road Interchange, the expansion of Valencia to Kenny Road, the Ajo I-19 Interchange, also the overpass over the railroad on Houghton connecting into I-10.
These are big projects.
Yes. They're multi-million.
The Ina one is kind of a time-consuming project. That's a... I think it's still about another year, right, on that project?
It was a 2-year project, right. And we want to get it done as soon as possible, obviously, because the businesses suffer during the construction period.
So this is the kind of, these are projects that are really, they're underway. And then what about perhaps in that near term, what jumped out at you in the 5-year program?
Well, probably the biggest thing that's gotten back into the 5-year program that will benefit Southern Arizona are the two segments of I-10, the Picacho segment that constricts down to 2 lanes and goes back up to 3. Well, should be under construction any day now. The bids have been opened, accepted, contracts let.
How many miles is that? It's always a nuisance. I know that when you go down from the 3 to 2.
It's really not that far. I think it's about 3.5
okay.
miles.
So that's not that big a deal, but it certainly is noticeable. Let's put it that way.
And then the other segment from basically Sunland Gin Road to I think the Sacatone exit on that construction should start in the first quarter of 2018. So those are big, big projects also. I think they total $85 million. So we'll have that segment done, leaving only the Gila River expansion up to Wild Horse Pass to get the freeway totally expanded to six lanes.
Well, that is the area that people always point to. Why can't we get that fixed? And what do you tell people about that on the in the Native Nation land?
Well, without going into too much detail, there is the ADOT wanted to get the agreement negotiated with the Indian Nation on the South Mountain Freeway, which, if you're familiar with Phoenix, that's the extension of basically I-10 south of the South Mountain area over to connect into the I-10 area again near the Lickfield Park area, going in west into L.A. And to try to negotiate both segments at the same time with the Indian Nation became very complex. The Indian Nation have some rights that they feel that would enhance the cost of that completion of that segment of the freeway over the Gila River, and the ADOT wanted to wait until the South Mountain Freeway was totally out of the court systems before they paid the attention to the Gila River crossing. So it'll probably be there'll be some planning money going into that segment and some discussions beginning probably next year.
But actual construction, we're talking 10 years.
Unfortunately, I think that's correct.
Mm. Yeah. All right. We have so many needs transportation-wise in this state. And by the way, bridges are also in the portfolio of the Arizona Department of Transportation. Are any of our bridges in critical condition, or what's the overall view of them, Mike Hammond?
Once a month at our board meeting, we receive a report on and other board meetings, a little more detail on the state of our bridges, and none of them are unsafe. We do have some that would be categorized as in poor condition that need to be addressed in the next 4 to 5 years. The majority of those are in the northwest segment of Arizona, coming from Las Vegas going into L.A. in that stretch, which very few Arizonans use, but the bridges are the responsibility of ADOT. So we're going to be having to direct, $20-25 million a year within in the 5-year budget for foreseeable future to correct some of those. Unfortunately, we've looked at things like toll roads and other alternatives to kind of grab the people coming from Nevada before they get into
LA. That's
an
interesting stretch of road, because really there's no way for Arizonans to get on that highway unless they go into Nevada or they go into Utah.
Yeah. So, but they're part of our system.
They are part of the system. So let's talk about the elephant in the room when it comes to transportation planning. And Mike Hammond, it's all about revenue. The highway user funds revenue has been kind of static.
Mm-hmm.
Our population is growing, but our money for road expansion is going to start and continually dwindle down.
Yeah, in some respects, there's a perfect storm going on. The HERF fund, which is gas tax and vehicle license tax. The vehicle license tax has been increasing steady as Arizona grows more cars.
Right, more people are.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, a couple of things. The electric cars have a brake on the vehicle license tax, which depresses revenues. Obviously, the electric cars do not pay a gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
So the revenue stream has been flat in real dollars. And when you adjust for inflation, the revenue stream has actually been dropping for years. In fact, by I think it's 2025, if we don't find increased revenue sources, the ADOT budget will be going entirely for maintenance and safety issues, and there will be no money for expansion in the ADOT budget.
So eventually, Arizona residents will have to make a decision about their roads and how they want to pay for it.
True. There's a couple of solutions. One is at the federal level. That gas tax has been the same since 1992, and I believe Arizona's gas tax mm-hmm. has been the same since 1992. No inflation adjustment at all. So in real dollars, it drops every year. So the easy solution would be a nickel, mm-hmm. a dime here on the gas tax, especially while gas prices are low. But, the, you know, the political will to do that's not been there. Right now, most of the state political will is directed towards education issues, and it'll probably be 2019 before they look to infrastructure issues. That's what we're being told.
Now, does a high-speed rail system between Tucson and Phoenix ever come up at your meetings, or is that just something that we don't have the luxury of even talking about?
Well, that the ADOT did spend quite a few hundreds of thousands of dollars doing a environmental impact EIS-1, we call it. And we can do that, and we can put it on the shelf and use it at a later date. To go to the next level, which, by the way, identified the corridor for the light rail, the alternatives, it was very well done. But to do the next, which would be an EIS-2, you don't do that unless you have funding, because that study has a 5-year shelf life. So if we come up with a funding mechanism for light rail, the phase one is done, but we need to do the phase two, and any community could pick off a portion of that and build it. But until there's funding, it won't happen.
What would something like that cost?
Oh, I think I saw a couple of billion. I mean, might be low. It's a very, very expensive project.
And by the time you actually got around to building, who knows what the price tag would be. All right, Mike Hammond, we have more to talk with him about. We'll get into some economic development issues, commercial real estate and such, as we continue on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday edition. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Arizona Daily Star political reporter Joe Ferguson. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Are you ready for your holiday decorating? My friends over at Green Things can take care of all of your holiday needs. They are your poinsettia headquarters here in Southern Arizona with thousands of the very colorful decorative plants. They're located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go by, say hello to Jan and Jack, the owners, and tell them that Bill Buckmaster sent you over. They can take care of you. Their website is very good as well, greenthingsaz.com. Now we continue our discussion with Mike Hammond. Mike is the Tucson representative on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. One thing we were not talking about or haven't talked about yet is what's the future of these driverless vehicles, not only the personal vehicles, but commercial vehicles, big semis rolling down the road, Mike Hammond, that are all fully automated with no driver. I guess this is something that ADOT has to think about, certainly in the 20-year plan. Maybe it's going to come a lot sooner than that.
That's been the message we've been hearing, Bill, is that the technology to effectively do autonomous vehicles on the freeway, especially in the area of transportation, is coming faster than we may be prepared to deal with it. It lends itself very well to platooning of trucks, maybe, for example, 10 semis 15, 20 feet apart.
Oh, my goodness.
With one driver in the front. But the interesting conversation, though, is what happens to truck stops? What happens to gas stations? All of that freeway activity that caters to the trucking industry. Then there's the issue of if you've got platooning going on, there'll be a rutting effect on the lanes that ADOT will have to deal with. So they've got to figure that out. And also, as everyone knows, there's some ethical considerations when an autonomous vehicle is making a decision on whether it goes right to hit the, you know, a person or left to hit the bus that's got, mm-hmm. you know, 30 people in it. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of issues, but very, very smart people are spending a lot of time and resources right now. And most say it's going to be on the freeway first, autonomous mm-hmm. vehicles. Mm-hmm. So that's
good. But we have seen these driverless vehicles being tested up in the valley, up in Phoenix.
Yeah, I've been told, I haven't been to Mesa, uh-huh. but there's a lot of vehicles running around Mesa right now with no drivers in them. So they're testing it in real time, right?
I mean, this could, you know, it's we used to think of this, of course, as science fiction, but this might happen a lot sooner than we believe. And as you say, it probably would happen on the commercial end with the driverless trucks first.
Yeah. It's very easy to put a parking lot in Dallas and one in L.A. and get the trucks on the freeway and then take them off without stopping between the two points.
Let's talk a little bit about commercial real estate. You've been in the business, well, you go back 1978. You've done a lot of work with your president, founder, and managing shareholder of Cushman & Wakefield PICOR, which is a independent commercial real estate brokerage and management firm. How has your year been with PICOR?
Our numbers are up, Bill, 30% over last year.
Whoa. Yeah. And the economy, that indicates to me that at least in your particular sector, things are looking pretty good.
I haven't seen it this good in many years, and a lot of reasons. We're still coming out of that recession, but I haven't seen the alignment of interests in this community so directed towards economic development in all of the years that I've been in the business. The city and the county, for example, are working very well together. The development services divisions of both city and county are as helpful as they've been to somebody that wants to build something, and that historically has been an issue. So everything, and also the economy, we are not overbuilding. Mm-hmm. Usually when you get the kind of activity we see in our business, mm-hmm. there's a lot of construction going on, and it bodes good for the construction industry, but next year you're going to have a lot of vacant buildings that were built when they shouldn't have been
built. But you don't see that going on around town. You don't see big warehouses being built. So is that a good thing?
Absolutely. We've got some bandwidth and also housing. Yeah. We're usually building 4,000 to 5,000 houses a year in a normal year. We're still only building 3. So there's a lot of capacity for construction, both commercial and residential, to happen in 2018. So we feel very bullish about 18.
So, and I tend to agree with you because I've been in town 30 years, and I think that, you know, a lot of the infighting that has held us back and the economic development, I think people are pretty much getting more, well, they're on the same page, basically, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's more appreciation.
You know, all the turf wars we've all experienced, if you've been around this town, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. Creating good jobs. We all read the statistics on Tucson and Southern Arizona on where it rates nationally, and we need better jobs. And I think folks that never thought themselves in pro-growth are thinking, you know, maybe we need to rethink growth and get smart growth, get good jobs. And you've seen it with Caterpillar, Raytheon. There's some very good expansions going on in this community right now.
And I think that one of the things that we do sell, of course, is climate. We've pretty much always mm-hmm. sold that, right? I mean, having those site selectors come to Tucson last winter, I believe, mm-hmm. and stayed out at the Star Pass, Marriott Star Pass, I think that will pay dividends for years to come because these are the people who perhaps these people had not seen Tucson. It puts us on the map.
Absolutely. I mean, climate has always been a big draw, but the one thing we need to focus on that I think will be as big a draw is workforce development. We've got to have trained technicians in a lot of these areas when a company wants to move here. That's what California, even in a high tax state, has going for it, is there's a lot of labor for the kind of industries, the high tech industries. We don't have that depth of labor, but it's improving every year. And you couple that with our climate advantages and some of the other assets of just being in Arizona. I'm very optimistic that we're going to see a pretty good run here beyond a good year in 2017.
You know, I can remember at one point with commercial real estate, we had a lot of vacancies. I mean, there was a huge percentage-wise, I don't know, some figures were like 10 to 15% of our warehouses were vacant. Mm-hmm. We've gotten that percentage down considerably.
Absolutely. We're almost, when you take out functional obsolete buildings and mm-hmm. some of those kinds of issues and some big vacancies like the Pella building or the Lisa Frank building at the airport, we're pretty much at full, pretty much at capacity. Somebody's going to have to start constructing. And again, that's another whole economic driver that'll be in place in 2018. So I'm very optimistic.
What about infill? That's not talked mm-hmm. about a lot, but it's traditionally been a huge issue here in Tucson.
Well, you're correct. And the city now they've always been talking the need for infill. Mm-hmm. But when a developer tried to take a 10-acre parcel, it was very difficult to maneuver through the process in the neighborhood. And, you know, rightly so, the neighbor needs to have some input in what happens. But the city now knows that they've got to, as long as it's consistent with what's built around it, they are tending now to approve rezonings within the city, even when some of the neighbors object. Before, you had to almost get 100% agreement from the neighborhood, and maybe now you can do it with 90%.
And of course, red tape had always been an issue, but you think that's being streamlined a bit?
Oh, absolutely. The city's come up with their fast-track programs, their abatement for construction tax and impact fees. And so they've come up with some incentives, especially downtown. And I think you see the fruits. The downtown is a pleasant place to be right now.
All right, Mike Hammond, thank you very much. Mike, I appreciate your support in PICOR and want to wish everybody over at PICOR and your fine team a really great holiday season. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And you've got, of course, I believe you've got an ADOT board meeting tomorrow that will round out the year. Do you meet monthly then?
We meet monthly.
Different parts of the state or?
Different parts of the state, and we also have four study sessions a year, so it's a 16 meeting commitment.
All right. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, let's take our break right here. We'll talk more economic development here on the Buckmaster Show. Christy Street will be joining us, and she has really made a huge difference with Next Trio, her company, over the last 15 years. We're going to learn about that on Buckmaster on a Thursday. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, look out for scams. If you suspect a scam or want to be a hero and report a scam, go to BBB Scam Tracker at bbb.org. Second tip, be on the lookout for dubious companies and charities with similar names to a well-known entity. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. All right, time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. The CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in 144 company relocations and expansions and an economic impact of over $22 billion. For more information, go to their fine website, suncorridorinc.com. Joining us in the studio is Sun Corridor investor Christy Street. Christy, how are you?
Very good.
Christy Street is the co-founder of Next Trio, the largest IT consulting firm in Tucson with 40 full-time IT professionals. Christy has been at the helm for 15 years and helped the company see double-digit growth. During that period, Next Trio has pumped more than $17 million in high-tech salaries and wages into the Tucson economy. She is here today to help us understand what all that technological advancement means to small and medium-sized businesses. It's been quite a ride for you, hasn't it, when you think how fast things change, Christy, in technology just in a few months or a year. You've seen a lot of changes in 15 years.
15 years went by in the blink of an eye, and then there are days where it feels a little bit like dog year. So I do feel sometimes like it technically and some of the technology that we support is 75 years ago that we started out. You have to remember that when we launched Next Trio, Microsoft had never ended a product life, so they
wow.
still had the original versions of Windows. Windows XP had just been released, and now 15 years later, they've officially started killing off products and retiring older versions. So we were still supporting some of the original personal computers in businesses. And it was a tipping point, I think, for us and for the industry.
And probably 15 years ago, some small and maybe even medium-sized businesses had not really come to grasp how important the technology was going to be for their business.
Not only was it not as hard to grasp what they needed to do. I think today it's much more complex about how to make it all work together. I think the past concerns were how much capital you had to expend to be able to participate. So small businesses were really facing slim choices when they wanted to act like big businesses and compete with big businesses because you had to pay for things up front. And now, 15 years later, the cloud makes the pay-as-you-go business model a much more competitive situation for startups and brings a little bit more complexity and sophistication into the business environment as well. So there's pros and cons, but I think 15 years ago, we never imagined that our business would be where it is, much less what kind of support and what kind of solutions we'd be providing.
So does the cloud technology, is it something that the average Tucson business owner really understands, or can you kind of explain that to us?
Well, I think cloud is starting to really become a term that's used interchangeably for a lot of different business models. But in general, there's a couple things that all cloud technologies are. One is generally means that you're not making the investment in having to keep that old box in your closet running yourself. You didn't have to buy the licenses. You don't have to upgrade it, etc. So that is the premise of cloud. The nature of having it offsite in some other larger data center and taking advantage of economy of scale, and therefore hopefully some price break, is also a feature of cloud. And I think most compelling for Tucson's businesses, and one of the things that we see as at least the initial advantage, is the pay-as-you-go model. So if you have three users of Microsoft Office today, and you want to hire 35 people next week, you can upgrade easily. And then if you want to downsize the following week, you can go back to paying for three users next month. So it's really a flexible business model, whereas in the old days, you'd have to buy for the peak, right? So you mm-hmm. would expend that capital on day zero for those 35 users. So I think folks are really starting to understand the compelling reasons of cloud. It introduces some new challenges when we talk about privacy and security, and there's no way to avoid those, cloud or not, in business.
And the security is such a huge issue, and we've talked with Ms. Winger here on this program mm-hmm. about that. She's been terrific, an attorney who really deals in this cybersecurity and cyber threats. How big a deal is that for a small business?
Huge. Kathy and I partner all the time because there's really no place within the business that cybersecurity, data protection doesn't touch. When you think about the assets of your business, most of us would say that our employees or our customers or the thing we make, the intellectual property that designed that widget, those are important things that we want to keep others from getting access to. And so today, most of that information is in some kind of digital file. And whether you're trying to protect it before it gets hacked or you're trying to recover after it gets hacked.
After a hacking incident,
you're talking with CEOs, CFOs, you're talking with attorneys, you're talking with your CPA, you're talking with your insurance folks.
Huge.
It really has a thread that weaves through all those business advisors.
Huge and scary.
It's not as scary if you are able to plan
ahead, right?
And to realize that there is no perfect. Mm-hmm. And so if you can kind of aim for the middle of the bell curve, you can come up with some creative solutions. What it is, Bill, is discipline. And a lot of us like to sort of set it and forget it. And that can't work in
business. You have to keep on top
yes,
of it, don't
yes.
you? Christy Street is with us, co-founder and CEO of Next Trio in our CEO interview series that's presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. So what's really got you and the team excited about what's coming up next in tech?
Well, so a couple different things. First of all, tonight, you may or may not realize, is the premiere of Star Wars The Last Jedi. So we'll be taking our team and their families to a private showing in the theater. That's our immediate excitement.
Kind of a little Christmas gift.
That's
there.
Our holiday party.
Holiday party.
How geeks like to spend their
Star
relaxation.
Star Wars holiday party.
You know, and honestly, that's a little bit strategic on my standpoint because I don't want them to call out sick tomorrow.
There you go.
So it's just give in to the priority there. But really, the consumerization, and you'll see this every holiday season, the gadgets are coming from home to the office. Mm-hmm. And we are, we're working with folks who want to be more mobile in more places and want access to all their data kind of in the same full functioning way. And so we're excited.
Sort of a seamless approach.
That's the idea. Yeah. It doesn't always work like that. But so as those presents get unwrapped this season, we'll they'll bring them to the office, and we'll secure them, we'll get them on the network, and we'll help folks learn how to use them.
Your business has really grown, and you have been, as I mentioned in the introduction, really pumping dollars into the community. You're paying your people well.
Yeah.
And Next Trio, the name goes back to, I guess there were three of you that originally came up with this idea, right?
Yeah, it's a very self-centered name, Bill. The three of us knew that we wanted to serve Tucson technical mm-hmm. customers.
Mm-hmm.
We did not really know what the shape of that business would take. And so the name was kind of a placeholder that has stuck. I think it's indicative of the fact that the three of us knew that together we made one decent business person.
Mm-hmm.
But each of us had unique skills, and that model has stayed true in all that we do at Next Trio today. We really work a lot in teams. I think that might be one of the reasons why we are able to beat the national average. We have double the national average tenure for technical positions. The average IT administrator, network engineer will stay in their job somewhere between 2 and 3 years. And we have, I'm proud to say at the moment, pushing 6 years as our
wow.
average tenure.
People
which
like working there.
It's a... It's a reflection of how we were raised in our
mm-hmm.
business life, and I think how we never forgot what it's like to be a valued employee.
And you're also investing in Sun Corridor. You like what they're doing.
I do.
Yeah.
I think that it's important that we're not unique. There's a lot of small, under the radar Tucson technical businesses that if we can kind of paint that story will be a very exciting, attractive reason for another business to locate here is access to great not only workforce but great infrastructure and utility in that technical realm.
Well, it sounds like you're very excited about 2018.
I can't wait.
Christy, thank you very much. Christy Street, co-founder and CEO of Next Trio, the largest IT consulting firm here in Tucson, all part of our Sun Corridor, Inc. interview series. We encourage you to check out Sun Corridor, Southern Arizona's economic engine. Go to suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a great weekend getaway, or even longer. If you've got a little time off between Christmas and New Year's, why not? It'd be a great idea just to drive over 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a lovely environment in Silver City. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete listing of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County in New Mexico. Keith Rosenblum is one of two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Very proud of these people who contribute to the Buckmaster Show on a regular basis. Keith is the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic, former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star, and he joins us now on the live line. Keith, how are you?
Well, good afternoon. I'm pleased to say that the highway between Hermosillo and Phoenix is unclogged at this point. I've just come on a 300-mile drive this morning.
What were you doing? You were down in Hermosillo?
I was in Hermosillo. I've been working on a project with Tap Royal, the Mexican bus company, and I've also been on a couple other projects. And today there's a speaker at the Phoenix Foreign Relations Council, who's the public radio correspondent in Mexico City. I think it's KJZZ. And I wanted to hear him, but I took off my super valuable time to share my wisdom with you and your listenership.
And we very much appreciate it, Keith. Arrests of illegal border crossers in southern Arizona fell by 40% during the last fiscal year. That is the lowest point, Keith, since 1983. Can you tell us, give us some insight, what's going on?
I would say that if you want to take a graph, you will see that eventually that graph will lead you to you and me and lots of other people going into Mexico and being stopped by Migración Mexicana in a couple of years. That's what happens when these when you look at the differential in wages in the U.S. For Mexicans, U.S. wages to Mexican wages has diminished. What used to be 10-to-1 ratio, if you earned $10 at a carpentry job or a welding job in the U.S., and you used to be $1 in Mexico. That's the Mexico that I became familiar with 30 years ago. Then it got to maybe 8-to-1 and 7-to-1. And I would venture to say now that it's about 4-to-1, so that if you earn $10 an hour in the States, now earn about $2.50 or $3 an hour in Mexico. So there's a lot of improvements in the Mexican economy that are in turn disincentives for someone to come to the U.S. in the first place. Then you take the creation of a new border patrol that's increased by a factor of 6 or 7 in number of agents. I think it was 2,000 agents when I first started working for the Daily Star 20 years ago. And I believe it's now 15,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, when you staff people like that, you it is a disincentive as well. I mean, eventually, if we wanted to, we could turn Border Patrol into a 250,000 agent and just get hands to hand, you know, hand by hand, cover the entire border. And nobody would come in that way. We would just have to people come by sea or underground or propelled in drones or something. So that is a factor, although one of the big issues has always been visa overstays anyway. It hasn't been people who come in illegally. But there's these series of factors, economic factors, the improvement of the Mexican economy, the presence of Border Patrol, and I can think of other mostly economic variables. The Internet means that a lot of stuff that you used to be able to do, you had to be physically present to do, you can now do at a desk from Mazamitla, Jalisco, or Hermosillo, instead of doing it at a desk in Mexico City or a desk in Denver. So there's a number of variables also. As Tom Friedman would say, the world's flat now. And so a lot of intellectual things can be done. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, and doesn't matter what your nationality is. If you know computer coding, or you know interpreting or that type of thing, you can do it wherever you are. So anyway, I would say that those figures to me suggest, I'm not sure where, though. There's always lots of variables. But I would say that they point to eventually there being no illegal immigration. And don't just remember that you heard this in 2017. There may come a point where the Mexican economy is strong enough that it attracts people to go to the U.S. And there's already a slew of us working illegally in different places in Mexico. Lots of people in Peñasco, lots of people in Guaymas and Alamos and in the who never bother to go through the Mexican system but are holding jobs there and not paying into the Mexican federal taxation system.
I hadn't thought of that, so it works two ways, you're saying.
Not by a big ratio, maybe 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 right now, but look for that to change. Things change real quickly.
A year ago, we were talking a lot about how Donald Trump's ascendancy to the presidency would affect the Mexicans and their view of the United States. Has that tampered or tempered somewhat over the last 12 months, Keith Rosenblum?
No, Keith Rosenblum says it hasn't. There's still a fascination, a morbid fascination with the fact that we put him into office, period. That hasn't diminished at all. Where the country is headed itself, they also have their dose of a kind of Trumpism coming their way, which is Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who's right now the presumptive winner. He will be the presumptive lead candidate in the Mexican elections for 2018. That's going to be fascinating because he is Trump, too. He is a Mexican version of Trump.
Huh, I had not heard about this guy.
Well, get him on the air one of these days, and you will.
What is he pitching?
The same Mexican nationalism, the same we'll get rid of corruption, the same deregulation. It's all the same language. It's also fake news. So much of it is as if it's just borrowed from the Trump playbook.
So Mexican elections, presidential elections, are next year?
In July, with a new president taking office in, I believe, September of 18.
And this particular, this man you're talking about is the front runner in the polling?
Correct. He was, at one time, he was the governor of the Federal District of Mexico, and he's a populist. He says, he's kind of a Huey Long kind of guy. He just speaks to the masses. He lives very modestly himself, but he is a world-class demagogue, and in many ways, to me, less credible than our own president, but a guy who's in the right place at the right time. No, doesn't speak English, not a particularly good speaker, but he's in the right place at the right time, and the Mexicans are so tired of their own partyocracy, the two major parties, the PRI and the PAN, that they'll look to anybody who comes in and says, let's get rid of the political class, and its power base.
Wow. I'm out of time, but a quick question. How does he feel about a border wall?
Resentful. And would probably retaliate in some way if it's ever done.
Mm. All right. Big story for 2017 as far as Mexico is concerned. What is it, Keith Rosenblum?
Probably preparations for an improving economy, which is never a big story because it's a gradual thing, mm-hmm. and people are prosperous, and the drug violence, you know, what people blab about all the time is still continuing, it's still internecine, it's still among the players. It is not something that reaches out into the rest of the population. And the big story, at least at the end of 17, is preparations for who's going to be in charge in 18. And right now it's Manuel López Obrador.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, hope it's a great holiday season for you and your family.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
Okay, bye, Bill.
Have a great one. Keith Rosenblum joins us. Usually try to get Keith on at least once a month, one of our 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Very proud of this group. All of their bios are up at buckmastershow.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen putting together their hour from 4 to 5. And then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, the Friday edition. Then we'll have the Buckmaster Show at 12:04. We'll speak with City Councilman Steve Kasachek, and we'll have Joe Ferguson, political reporter from the Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Boy, we've got a lot to talk about speculation-wise. Who's in, who's out in all the races coming up in 2018. Have a great afternoon and evening.